I am John, Whoopi impersonator, and Eladrin Warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said, I want to make a podcast! Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host, and today we have Mad B and Rob Clifford with us, with a special guest, Ziggy... Is it Mabry?
Mabry.
Yep.
And Ziggy works at Alter Ego Comics in the Crossroads... At Bellevue Mall, in Bellevue at the Crossroads Mall, right?
Hi, people.
It's a really cool store. I enjoy it a lot. I get some of my comics there. They got a giant Incredible Hulk in the window, so you can't miss it if you're going through the mall.
Oh, their displays are ridiculously incredible.
Yeah, they got all kinds of new comics, a few back issues. They got tons of toys. If you're into toys, it's a great place to go. They've got, like... Magic cards. You can buy singles there, right? Single magic cards?
Yep.
Yeah. Buy and trade, right?
Yep. And then you go next door, go to Uncles and buy packs. People love it.
Yeah. It just keeps it going around between the two.
It's a vicious cycle.
Go. Yeah, it's a nice little community. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. And they sell a lot of those hot toys and, what is it, Sideshow
collectibles? Mm-hmm. Sideshows, amazing displays and toys that they make. It's unreal. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk Marvel Comics.
Hey, try being an Incredible Hulk fan nowadays.
Oh, God, dude.
It's restarted, what, three or four times already?
Oh, Incredible Hulk, Captain America, Punisher, Daredevil. I mean, good God.
And actually, speaking of the Hulk, I want to go into this. So he's been shot, is that what I hear correctly?
Yes.
And now Banner is a little bit messed up, and...
We're going this weird air, like, kind of like the storyline where they haven't really talked too much about it. It's just that they've said something about Omega Hulk is going to be kind of like the name of this new, there's going to be this new, kind of like a Professor Hulk, which kind of like leads me to there has been a Professor Hulk before.
But like in the 80s, wasn't there a Hulk that he was like really super smart and could talk? And
yeah, he had Bruce Banner's intelligence and he was still as Hulk. So it's interesting what they're doing. Is they had him get shot, and Tony Stark implants some kind of extremist, like, upgrade to help his mind to, like, kind of fix things out. And as they, like, lead you towards the end, they're, like, they mention that they're not sure how smart Bruce is going to be after this.
Oh, God, and even better, in the most recent Original Sin Hulk versus Iron Man, he snuck his way in... to getting the extremists basically like jacked up through the bloody roof.
Mm-hmm.
So he is like super, super extreme intelligence.
And they've been doing a lot of like interesting things at Original Sin. Marvel's doing a lot of things with like background stories and things. It's an interesting time.
See, I've heard there's going to be almost like a cybernetic Banner though. What was that that I'd heard? I mean, is there still going to be two different like Bruce Banner and the Hulk, or are they going to basically be one?
I haven't heard too much about it. I've been trying to keep up with it, but I've been obviously falling behind. If anyone else knows, they can chime in.
Hey, don't look at me. I have tried and failed to follow the Hulk on multiple occasions.
That could have been a false rumor or something that I heard from somebody, or someone's speculating or hoping. I don't know.
You know, well, once we got to Lord of the Flies Hulk, I think I was kind of done.
I can't turn my back on it, no matter how I feel. Hulk was my first comic, so I have to follow it.
Hey, that is totally legit, man. I completely get that, and I applaud that. I wish I had that kind of tenacity to stick with it, but no, I don't. I just don't care enough. As much as I hate to say it, it's like, oh man, a couple of those storylines. I tried to stick through it, and I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And now you guys were talking also of Captain America. I was hearing that the Falcon's going to take over, right? Sam.
Yes.
Sam's going
to. Oh, yeah.
Finally. You know, it'll be a nice nod to the history again, you know, because realistically, And, you know, I'm sure that there will be some, you know, devil's advocate on this. I think that, you know, transitions tend to have a little bit more weight if there's some good history there. And there's no other character that has been by Captain America's side other than, you know, Bucky than Falcon. I mean, Falcon was kind of the new sidekick there for the longest time. And I can't think of a better person to pick up the mantle. I mean, after all, Steve Rogers himself has said on multiple occasions that there always needs to be a Captain America.
I definitely agree. If they had to go to another person, I'd say Sam Wilson was the perfect choice. It makes, like there was no other way they could have went with it. Devil's advocate, though, of me says, how long will they be dedicated to it?
Oh, yeah, well, that's the Marvel way, though. I mean, transitions typically with Marvel tend to be temporary, transitional things, you know? A lot of times done for sensational reasons, and then it's back to status quo usually within a year. You know, I was amazed that they stuck with Superior Spider-Man for 2 years, even though I absolutely loved the storyline. I thought it was really well done and rolled out really nicely. My money was on a year.
Yeah.
Because that's just how they roll.
I actually did enjoy that one, too. Now, are they going to give, like, Sam Wilson the Super Soldier Serum? I mean, because he didn't have that in the past. Is that correct? Or am I off base there? I don't remember.
I don't think he did.
No, he never did. But my understanding is that he's getting the mantle, but, you know, retaining his own power set.
Okay. So the new Captain America just won't be as strong and semi... Mm-hmm.
He said in the movies, he'll do everything Captain America does, just slower.
Okay. On your left.
I think it'll be a fun run. People will be obviously upset. They'll say, I want to read about Captain America. But
well, it's not like Steve Rogers is going away, right? He's going to be doing other things.
Yeah, in fact, I believe he's getting a team-up comic.
I heard he's getting Jimbo Kama Deadpool.
I heard Deadpool's getting married.
He got married?
Is that it's already coming on? Okay.
Yeah.
Leads him to a whole war of vampires now, too. It's like that's part of married life, I guess.
Yeah, I also wanted to touch on the Thor turning into a woman. So.
Yes.
Now, this is going to be another character. It's not like actually Thor himself now suddenly becoming a woman. All it is that a woman is now going to have the hammer.
Yeah, so basically the events of Original Sin make it so that Thor is no longer worthy to wield his hammer. And that a female in his cast, who is apparently a well-known, well-established character...
So it could be Sif.
It could be, you know... You know, we're not entirely sure who it's going to be. Okay. You know, it should be pretty interesting, though. But it definitely could be Sif. It would make sense.
Now, I wonder if they're going to tell us who they are. Because as I've been reading it, apparently she doesn't know her own identity.
Oh, interesting. I was going to say like a Red Hulk, but Red Hulk knew who he was. It's just nobody else knew, right?
Knew, yes. Oh, that's the thing. It's like, will we be seeing the whole story like, just fight... Just look the other way. You'll see who you are. No, you missed them. Like, are we going to do a storyline where, like, are we going to get solely clues? Are we going to, like, problem solve this out? Like, little small things. Like, if you pay attention, you'll realize who she is before the end. Or will they just not even, like, give you anything and just hold it back and be like, we're going to slowly explore who this character is. And you'll just find out when you find out.
Yeah, maybe they'll do
a more
organic
rollout.
Because, like, with Red Hulk, didn't they kind of... I felt like when I was reading Red Hulk that you were sort of like had an inkling towards one person this could be, and then they threw you in another direction.
Yeah, they kept going like hints
and
towards,
then it wound
like,
up being
characters.
The first
and then
person.
I think it was Doc Samson they made a hint towards, if I remember correctly, and then it was completely not Doc Samson. If everyone's up there,
I think
General Ross. Yeah. Sorry to ruin that spoiler for you.
Did they hint at General Ross at the beginning, though? And then they swerved it because
I think they
away from
did,
him to somebody else.
I think they
else.
Did it like a kind of point to like, it's General Ross, and everyone's like, you're crazy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Red Hulk, Red Hulk's not a great favorite as a person who's reading Hulk. There's too many Hulks, honestly, for a whole person.
Yeah, there are.
No, there's only one.
The Red Hulk storyline seriously lasted like a year too friggin' long.
Well, he's still around, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, the main like Red Hulk rollout storyline lasted like 2 years. It should have lasted like a year.
Oh, the nerd like rage that came out when he just shows up and knocks out the Beyonder and then takes out Thor. Everyone's like, no, 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 no. Which even for me was like, all right, I love Hulk, but he's not just going to throw cosmics like it's easy. Who's this new guy doing it? Especially when it just ends with Hulk getting madder and punches him and knocks him out. I was like, what?
You know, speaking of like Beyonders and all these other things, and it made my head pop, Watcher pop in, you know? And I was
and
like,
a couple eyeballs pop out.
Yeah.
Apologies, nerd crowd. I said Beyonder when I meant Watcher.
Oh, you did mean a Watcher. Okay.
Yeah, it was the Watcher. I didn't realize, like, when he said Watcher, I was like, oh, now they're going to be so mad.
Oh, man, I just thought you were making like a 1984 reference.
But what I was wondering...
I wish that was that good.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
No, what I was wondering was... So that's what kicked off Original Sin, was one of the Watchers died. Now, was it actually Watcher?
The Watcher.
Yeah,
the Watcher we know mostly was killed.
Yeah.
Now, you got to clue me in, because I've only been reading the stuff that falls into the series that I've been reading. I didn't actually go and get that mini-series of Original Sin. Or if it happened in another book, I'm just not sure. So how did the Watcher die? Who killed him?
He got his brains blown out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been trying to keep up with it. I was surprised that like they really went through this. As from what I can tell, last thing I read was it was radioactive bullets. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No. And actually, they've been unrolling it that Nick Fury has been like this cosmic protector killing imminent like invasions of Earth with a huge gun and radioactive bullets.
Did that happen in the Original Sin miniseries, or did that happen in another book and I just missed it? Okay.
No, he's been talking about, I want to say, Original Sin number 4 or 5 is where that gets revealed. Because he talks about his backstory, because he's looking for a successor. Because the Infinity Serum that he's taking or has taken has worn off and he's super aged.
Which is interesting, with all the serums kind of like wearing off.
Yeah, well, I guess they only have a 60-year shelf.
That's what's happening with Captain America, right? The serum.
Yeah. Which is interesting though with his storyline, because from everyone from like who's been paying attention, like kind of like paying attention, like reading, and wouldn't it technically his serum, if it wore off, wouldn't it just put him at like the age that he should be at this point? Obviously, Marvel's ever moving storyline. Technically, he came back in the 60s, but based off, because comics books never actually go from the timeline, technically that's more like the 90s nowadays. Mm-hmm. So with the serum going off, shouldn't he technically just be like aged now to the, because he didn't actually like age through the time that he was in ice. He was like frozen, so his body never went through that.
But it's because the super soldier serum kept him preserved and in a state of stasis. But I think that the reason that he's aged to the point that he is the assumption is that he fought World War II, so he was at least 18 to 20 years old in, 1943, 1944, when they made that final push, he led the troops against the Germans. Yep. So I think that it makes perfect sense that he's like,
aliens.
In his 80s at this point,
It was aliens.
I mean, I get that he's actually 80 years old. The question comes, like, I always thought, like, from my, like, try to nerd pieces together as pseudoscience, make it work in my head, was that he didn't, like, this ice preserved them.
But it was the super soldier
kept
serum.
Kept him alive.
Yeah,
like,
so
the super soldier kept him alive, though the ice preserved him. So his body never actually, like, went through the wear and tear of those, like, years in between when he got frozen and when he came out. He never actually, like, his body never went through that. And so the idea was, like, in my head, that technically when he just, like, when the serum go out, he would go through the years that he actually went through the wear and tear. That's where he would end up.
I'm guessing freezer burn. That's my guess.
I mean, yeah.
They should have put him in a better Ziploc bag.
It's all comic science, so they can come up with every storyline that they want. But it's like a nerd, true nerd, you're always like, no, that doesn't make sense in the storylines you've given me.
It's like, man, have you ever seen what freezer burn does to, like, a chicken breast? That shit. Shut up.
Perfect.
And speaking of weird changes, though, the Hulk had been shot many, many times in the past, and every time, even if he was shot as the Hulk, the bullets would just bounce off, or if they did do something, he would heal fast. And if he was shot as Banner, like he put the gun, they even mentioned this in the movie, right? Yeah. Even in Avengers, the movie, right? He says he put the gun in his mouth and the big guy spit it back out, right?
It actually, if you're like, there's like an iconic, like I always remember this one, is there is a picture that you can look up where it shows how, like, it has a point where someone shoots at Bruce Banner, and by the end of the next panel, it's kind of dark so you can't tell what happens. In the next panel, you see the face of Hulk now having the bullets in his teeth.
Yeah.
And it was always like, it's almost impossible to kill Bruce Banner. Like, the always idea people say is like, if you can beat the Hulk by just taking out Bruce Banner. And they always said, like, they always kind of like did this kind of certain thing that, like, Bruce Banner transforms at a rate that's way too fast for anyone to actually do anything.
Yeah, because basically, like, you know, in almost every case, unless someone gets shot right in the brain, right, or whatever, you know, you always see people, even in, you know, in movies and TV, you see them on the ground going, "Ugh, I'm gonna die. Tell your mom, I love you."
You know, they always have the longest.
They always have just Skywalker.
Well, let's face it, you're trying to kill a dude who's already faced off against a goddamn gamma bomb. Yeah. I mean, at that point, what the hell is Small Ordnance going to do?
Well, see, they always are, like, it's always weird when they do, like, things like the storyline, because, like, this storyline, he was supposed to be, the reason they were able to shoot him is because he actually had, like, some kind of, like, supplement that, like, keep his anger down so he could transform.
Was it another radioactive
and
bullet?
It's always interesting, though, is because, like, it points to like that where he can't transform, but then when he's, like, when people are not, like, his friends are trying to keep him transforming, it works. But whenever it's, like, some enemy that's trying to keep him transforming, it doesn't work at all. It's just nope, he overpowers it.
Well, could you imagine Bruce Banner in that situation? He's like, "Quick, fetch me my melanin."
That's actually kind of one thing I miss from the later Hulk, you know, seeing the later Hulk stuff in the movies that's currently going on, is that I miss that interaction with Betty, right? Where there are oftentimes, I think that was one thing they did well in that crazy CG, like, super inflatable dog movie. Yeah, where when they showed the parts where he was out in the stone, basically, like, that area, and the rain was coming down, and Betty was trying to calm him down and turn him back into Banner, I thought that was just perfect from, like, the comics and everything, and that was one of the scenes that was really well done in that movie, throwing everything else away with those stupid dogs and everything. I did not like the giant dog thing in that movie. I hated those dogs.
I don't think
there were a lot of things that I think a lot of people didn't like about that damn movie. I like to pretend it didn't exist. You know that?
No. There, I was good until the point where he's fighting like living lightning.
Giant squid.
That's what I was like. Nope.
I understand who he was, and I mean, I remember we did see him in, like, Hulk, a version of him in the Hulk in earlier comics, but that was kind of weird.
Nerd crew out there, I'm just joking. I was done with the movie at the very start.
Well, hey, man, Eric Bana gave a performance that made Hayden Christensen in Star Wars look like Charlton friggin' Heston, okay? The guy had, like, the emotional content of a rock in that movie.
I think that's
not the rock.
Well, you know, I want to, before we go way off topic, I want to bring it back in. If you guys still have time, we've been talking for quite a while now, but if you still have time and you're okay staying on, I want to just touch base on some of the stuff that people talked about at Comic-Con, or what we found out about at Comic-Con the past weekend. The big things that dropped were they showed, like, Avengers 2, the Ultron, and they had Vision. Yes. And now, as far as I'm concerned, this was the first time I had heard that Vision was even going to be in the thing. And here I am seeing the actor. So to me, that was a big drop. I mean, what do you guys think of Vision actually being? And Ultron's going to create him, right?
Well, that's the storyline, at least, in the comics.
But he's pretty much Jarvis. That's the guy who plays Jarvis
the same
in the
voice, right?
The other
he
ones?
Plays the voice Jarvis and all the other stuff, right?
Works for me.
That's him.
Yeah, it's Paul Bettany, right?
Yeah, yep. I heard they're going toward the more of a Tony Stark origin thing.
Okay.
Because they obviously haven't got Ant-Man. And if you know, Hank Pym is his real name. They haven't really...
That whole thing's just...
Yeah, I'm confused with that. Let's get into that. Because what I was confused with was they cast someone as Yellowjacket and they cast someone as Ant-Man. And then they cast someone as Van Dyne's daughter. So I was
but they're totally, you know, Janet Van Criming her out of the entire damn
continuity. So they're getting rid of Janet Van Dyne completely, and they're going...
She dies in a lab accident, apparently, near the beginning of the movie where...
Stupid!
Oh, I know, it's bullshit.
What do you think the reasoning is for writing her out? And why would there be a Yellow Jacket separate from Ant-Man? Aren't they the same person?
Because they're scared of having more than one powerful female character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, apparently.
Okay. All right. As a person who, like, I definitely, like, the idea of powerful female characters in movies, I'm all for it.
Dude, she named the Avengers team in the damn scared. Comics.
It's That's true. I think they're scared.
She named the team. She is a founding member of the Avengers, and they are just
pissing her out of confidence. Which is also another people is growing nerds out there. Learn your first five Avengers. Don't say Captain America, because that's not true. It's not.
It's very true. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, like, she was a very important character. It's Marvel's fear, and I feel it with the same reason why DC is like they won't the fight over why is there not a Wonder Woman movie, standalone movie yet. It's fear. They fear that
it's that John Carter thing, right? Because they didn't want to put Princess of Mars.
As much as like they trying to like. Like, I give them credit for trying as best they can to appease the nerdy fan base. But at the same point in time is at the very end of the day is they're really here to make money. And if they don't
think that they can do that off of, like, 52% off 52% of the bloody population? I mean, come on.
It has been notorious. Like, just like with the Thor girl, is like, there's a lot of, like, I think it's gonna, like, it's a good idea, but, like,
oh, people are losing their shit.
Yeah, it's going to fall. Like, the problem is there's still things that we as a society have to work out, not to drag us into that conversation. it's hard to throw that up there because there will always be complaints that are like, did they do it right? Did they do it, like, did they – obviously putting another strong characters. How do you put, a strong female character out there? And especially in modern-day cinema, without, like, sexualizing her or putting her into, an outfit that doesn't make sense every video game ever.
I think it's pretty doable, and I think that the excuses to the contrary are kind of bullshit, honestly.
And I definitely agree with you. It's falling into the old idea, this is how to make money. Put one hot female up there and then have a bunch of people, like, the strong characters, and have her be, like, kind of a side character. And it's I wish... They like learn from that that's not the way. They can do these strong female characters and do really well.
You're right. You know what?
Very far. We should
take this example. But how popular was that Birds of Prey? You know what I mean? Like, that was made up.
The TV
wasn't that all made up of just female characters from the Bat universe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 But it was a shitty series. I mean, if we're talking about the TV series.
No. I mean, like, the comics were pretty popular. Yeah. And then when they.
Oh, the Gail Simone run was bloody
fantastic. And then when they showed up in, what was that? The animated thing. I mean, that was brilliant.
Oh, that was Brave and the Bold. That was awesome. But that's what you get, God forbid, when you have a strong female writer writing strong female characters. When you got a bunch of old white dudes in charge of movie studios dictating who can and can't be in friggin' storylines, it gets to be a little bit ridiculous.
Well, they're so stuck in their, social stigma.
Yeah.
You know, the ancient thing. And their heads are so far up their asses, pardon me.
No.
That, like, there's no way in hell they could see a strong woman in a leading role that's not in boob armor. I mean, don't even get me started on that. But
they're not us. They're not people who, like, what's always been amazing about, for me at least, from a person, comic books was always, like, it didn't matter your origin, what you looked like, or anything of that. It was, like, the basis of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And that's why people were so drawn into comics. Mm-hmm. The simple fact of that is the people who are making our movies aren't us. They're not people who've been reading comics. Some are. But the people at the very top, sadly, they're not.
We've gotten the geeks have gotten to the level of writing and sometimes producing and things, but you're right, they're not at the level of where they're in control of those companies. Yeah, we still have like another 10 years or so to go before geeks are CEOs, right?
John, clearly what we need to do is go take over a film company. That's clearly what we need to do. So
turn into a Viking raid. Just Viking raid on it, you know?
Yes!
Why can't you still do that these days? Just Viking raid it and take over. This is mine now.
Have the boat and everything.
That's the best kind of corporate raiding you can possibly do. I mean, seriously. Roll up in there, up their asses in a skyship, swords drawn.
God, like, yes.
Bitches, we are taking over.
Everything. We're already there. We're halfway there.
But anyway, back on it, though. Do you guys really think that this is going to be cool, though, in whatever way? You know, put it all aside and just say, let's let them run with it and see where they go. I think Avengers 2 is going to kick butt, right?
I'll be happy.
Oh, it's going to be. I think it's going to be awesome. I think Guardians is going to be awesome.
Yeah, Guardians.
Awesome.
Oh, I can't.
Oh,
you know?
God.
I got my.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I got my subway the other day, so I have a free ticket now.
Oh, dude, I went to the 17-minute preview that dropped at the beginning of this month, and it was bloody fantastic.
In the last episode, I have your little,
Nice. Watch it in 3D. I don't always advocate that, but holy crap, from what they did in the preview, IMAX 3D is the way to go on this one.
Yeah, I already bought my tickets, so.
Yeah, me too.
I went to go get one today, and they only had 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and I was like, but I get out at 3. I want to go 3:30,
Dude, 11:45 a.m. Friday morning.
Oh, lucky. I have to wait until I get off work, and then I'm going
to... I have to convince my crowd to be like, hey, we're going to do this. This now. And everyone's schedule's like, can't do this. It doesn't matter. Cancel. Skip work.
Like,
call
off.
I already feel like I'm going to watch it a couple times, because I was like, I'll probably buy a ticket and pay for it on that Friday. Because my free ticket probably won't show up because I just got it today from Subway. You got 5 visits to Subway and you get a free ticket to Guardians of the Galaxy. So when that comes, they give you a code. And when you get 5 codes, you get a...
So you only have to suffer through 5 sandwiches in order to get 2 hours
of
bliss?
I like meatball sandwiches. I don't think it's suffering.
We have different ideals of the word suffering here, I think.
Are you being sarcastic? Okay.
No.
and they did say Guardians 2, right? That official.
Yes, they did confirm Guardians 2.
I have a feeling that there's going to be. I was laughing, like I put that thing up, like where I said I'm hooked on a feeling that Guardians of the Galaxy is here to stay, And I think that like what you were saying before, Rob. This is going to turn into a franchise of its own.
I think it'll eventually break itself
away from this whole Avengers arc and be its own 6, 7, 8 movie set just with all these guys. Because,
God, I hope so.
the cosmic level Marvel universe is so vast and has so much material to tap. They could do some amazing things with that.
Didn't I see the Nova Squad? Wasn't that a line of Nova Squad guys in that one shot?
Yep, they are the guys who are running the kiln, the prison that the Guardians wind up finding themselves in.
Okay, and then tell me too, who are the blue-skinned race that Karen Gillan is playing, right?
She's Nebula.
She's Nebula. Now, there's the blue-skinned guys that are in the prison. Who are those guys?
Isn't that the creep? Monstrous large dudes.
So we don't really know... Because I'm wondering if we're going to see the Kree. Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Are we going to see the Kree?
Because I know the Kree are in the movie. It's already been... Mm-hmm.
And they keep on hinting that one of the upcoming movies that hasn't been totally confirmed yet is Captain Marvel, as in Carol Danvers.
Okay, so the female Captain
Marvel. That should be pretty slick.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think it would be great to have Carol.
Well, she's the one who's, in the middle of, public consciousness right now. Or at least, nerd consciousness. Because Marvel has been... dead for 30 years now, they've brought him in occasionally on like little side stories and flashbacks, but it's about damn time that Carol Danvers got the tap to be Captain Marvel. I mean, she was the original sidekick. It makes perfect sense that she would get the mantle.
If you think about it from a higher up perspective, nowhere near the same power set, of course, but if you look at it, that's kind of, they could be looking at it as going, okay, this could be our Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, she's Hulk.
Yep.
Well, I mean, she is arguably one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel universe, right? I mean, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I mean, she's right up there with the Hulk, and somewhere in that top 5, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Strength wise,
up there.
You know, And, you know, I mean, I don't know how well she would deal necessarily solo against, you know, the giant cosmic powers, but then who the hell does go super so, well solo?
Yeah, when, every time a giant cosmic power comes, here we go, another 8-issue crossover.
Well, hell, you know, I mean, Thanos rears his ugly head, and you have the entire Marvel Universe, you know, jumping out to come out and play, which is warranted. I mean, what the hell happens then when you have, like, Death or...
I still want to see Galactus show up for real.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want to see a legit Galactus. That satellite Galactus was bullshit.
Yeah, that everyone
said. Oh, my God. And I'm sorry, I usually love Warren Ellis, but he came up with that atrocity in the Ultimate Universe, and...
Oh,
my God.
Galactus or what?
Galactus, right? I love how the real Galactus winds up folding over into the Ultimate Universe during or in the aftermath of Age of Ultron.
I just
and
read
like,
that storyline.
Oh, dude, he bats Ultimate Vision basically out of existence, and she was like the early warning system and kind of like failsafe against that Galactus. And then, you know, he steps on New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which, you know, well, hell, I can't much complain about that either. So
I enjoyed it. Honestly, like, the power set of, like, the Ultimate Universe was always supposed to be, like, kind of, like, smaller in scale. So when I saw him show up, I was like, he should just start bulldozing people. I'm like, if he loses, I'm done.
Well, let's face it. Most of the people in the Ultimate Universe were just kind of broken. You know?
Even more so than the...
So, You know, they were very much allowed to have, you know, human failings and whatnot. Mm. And we're kind of scaled down accordingly.
Which I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, I think it should have died at Ultimatum.
I think that's why I always gravitated to Marvel versus DC. I always felt like Marvel characters were like humans trying to like live, like trying to deal with powers of gods, while DC was more like gods trying to connect back to their humanity.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that's the big thing that... Well, so I think that's what Stan Lee and Kirby and whatnot were all about with the early Marvel Universe stuff. It was about making it relatable, about making guys like Peter Parker, you know, be normal, everyday dudes that you could connect with. And it was more for an older audience. At that point in time, DC was very much kind of the starter kit. And Marvel was where you went when you were a teenager and were a little bit more complex and wanted to get into deeper... Yeah, totally. It allowed them to connect with these characters in a whole different way that you couldn't with the early DC stuff.
And, you know, going on what you were touching there with, like, Galactus and going into... I wanted to bring up the Skrull. Do you think the Skrull will be in Avengers at some point or in the Marvel Universe? I hear that they were tied in with the Fantastic Four property, right?
They're the Chitauri. The Skrulls are the Chitauri that appeared in the Avengers. The Chitauri are the Ultimate Universe version of the Skrulls. Mm. And, the Skrulls... not that we've seen so far, but who knows what the more powerful ones could do. I mean, we've only seen the drones and that one go-between between Loki and Thanos.
Okay, so that was actually a go-between of a Chitauri and not... So that was not... sorry, what's his face? Is it Terax from...
No, that definitely wasn't Terax.
Because he's going to be... Well, who's going to be in the new movie here? What was his name again? I'm sorry. It was a Terax, right? It was...
It's Ronan, the Accuser.
Ronan. And Ronan wasn't in the previous
movies?
Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Ronan yet?
I don't think so.
Because I thought one of those shots with the great... Where he was, like, handing Loki the scepter, he had the gray skin, so I thought maybe that was... Ronan.
But
Ronan is definitely blue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ronan, like, I don't think in my mind that he's ever, like, been associated with Thanos.
No, so they're going to make the association in this Guardians movie between Ronan and Thanos.
No, he's an accuser of the Kree.
Mm-hmm.
So he should be, who knows what the hell the Kree have to do with Thanos at this point.
Building. Maybe I'm confused then. You guys might be able to straighten this out. So I thought that in a trailer or somewhere, I had seen that. So, Gamora is Thanos' adopted daughter.
Gamora.
And she was working for Ronan to collect the piece for Thanos. So, that, to me, made me go, okay, she's working for Ronan on loan from Thanos, which means that Ronan is getting the piece for Thanos. So there's got to be a connection between Ronan and Thanos.
There could very well be something going on with the Kree. where they're siding with Thanos because they figure he's going to be the winner anyway.
Okay.
Your whole storyline is about, I could win if I wanted to, but then my subconscious says, let's do it another day.
No. Now it's making sense, because then that's why everyone was saying Ronan in the movies is going to be kind of one of those characters that you're not – she's going to be a Lando Calrissian. You're not sure if he's really the bad guy or if he's going to end up helping the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy in the end.
Yeah, I mean,
and that could be because there have been times where the Kree have gone against Earth, but other times they go with Earth. They're kind of one of those races that have gone back and forth, right?
Yeah.
In the comics, I mean.
I mean, the big thing with the Kree, obviously Captain Mar-Vell was a Kree.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Marvel now, Captain Marvel, her powers are derived from the Kree. So Ronan's gone up against, particularly in the context of Captain Marvel, the Kree have been kind of, an enemy, I guess. But they have jumped back and forth on more than one occasion, and Ronan himself has been more of a good guy on more than one occasion, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a member of the Annihilators, which was kind of a precursor to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
He usually has that big-ass hammer, right, if I remember right in the comics? Yep. No. I think I saw that in one of the images, right? So they're going to have that together in the movie.
And it looks badass.
Yeah.
Now, I always wonder about, this is, a side topic. With the Kree and associated with, Inhumans and all that, how do they fit in everything, the storyline? I really hope Inhumans get introduced. I really do. But it's always on the delicate line of Fantastic Four, and then it's too close to mutants.
Well, I know that Ronan wound up marrying into the Inhumans.
That's true.
One point.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. In the comics, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. He was married to Crystal.
Yep.
So, who knows if they're going to wind up bringing him? And I mean, I know that they're making a push for with the Inhumans in the comics, which is a property that's, let's face it, it's never really caught before.
You could argue the same with Guardians. Guardians never right now, I almost feel like Guardians was a story that's ahead of its time.
Agreed. Well, they're basing it on the 2008 storyline, by Abnett and Lanning.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which is the, the post-Annihilation arc, right? So,
some of the best stuff.
Abnett and Lanning do Cosmic so damn well. They are so good at that. They were. They have now split up as a team. They are, divorced, as it were, and are doing separate projects. The trade paperback for at least the first collection of their run just got released last week. So that's a good place to catch up on that run of comics.
Yeah. And what I was getting at with the whole Fantastic Four thing was I wanted to bring into, did you guys see that photo that leaked of the Thing?
Yeah.
And so that to me means there's going to be a third Fantastic Four coming out from that studio, which means it's not going to revert back to Marvel anytime soon. Right?
Well, they've all been trying to. Anytime one of these properties is anywhere close to reverting, they wound up putting out this kind of half-assed, shitty effort to put out a half-assed movie to keep their mitts on the property. It sounds like this.
Do you think that's what this is going to be?
It sure sounds like it, man. They've already said straight up that this Fantastic Four is going to have nothing to do with the comics. And it's like, are you kidding me? What the hell? You have 70 years of history to draw on here, and you want to kind of dick with us like that? I mean, why even bother calling it Fantastic Four?
Honestly, I've been saying this for the Thing. Is if we want this to actually happen, where we want to see the crossover or something, we have to give them a reason to.
Josh Trank is trying to make fucking Chronicle 2, and I don't have a problem with that. Just call it Chronicle 2. I don't hijack the Fantastic Four.
The Fantastic Four will go, and then I really hope people will just say, I'm going to skip out on this one. I'm okay. And
I guess you're right, Ziggy. Yeah, if everyone sits out, they won't make the money, and they won't make another one, and
it makes
will
more
revert
sense
to Marvel.
For us to say, hey, let's sit down with Marvel and the overlords of Disney, because Disney is going to take over everything eventually, Disney, and say, hey, give us a good offer, and we'll give you these rights back. Because it doesn't make sense for them to just keep holding on to a property that they're never going to use if there's money on the table.
Yes.
I don't think there's like that grand scheme of just spite, like, no, I'm just going to hold on to it. Like, they're not, I don't think they have the spite in them to say refuse a lot of money from Disney, which Disney will do if they know that if they wanted to make this universe to keep growing and keep having it for years, they're going to eventually have to start grabbing it. They can't throw us into like Iron Man 67.
Yeah. Well, because it threw me for a loop because I was hoping that by the time, you know, because Avengers 3 is so far off, mm-hmm. that I was hoping that by the time, you know, this picture shattered my dreams, is what I'm saying. Because I was hoping that there would not be another Fantastic Four film. It would revert and go back to Marvel. And then we could see Reed Richards do what he's supposed to do.
And we could see Galactus.
The Infinity Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, Reed Richards is key to the Infinity Gauntlet story. And I'm just like, when I saw this picture, I was like, all my hopes and dreams of that storyline just got shattered. I mean, because I'm kind of wondering, like, who's going to replace him in that role? Are they going to use Doctor Strange to kind of be – because they're going to make a Doctor Strange film.
Yeah, that's the next one that they're talking about.
Yeah, so I was like, are they going to try and use him in that role and make him be the one who figures this stuff out?
Or that's maybe what just, I was thinking.
Or maybe a Hank Pym, just like dump it all on Hank Pym and make him do
and
it all.
And Tony Stark, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're making Tony Stark such a centralized character in the MCU mm-hmm. that that they're kind of relying on him for to fill the roles that in the comics were filled by, you know, yeah. Hank Pym and possibly Reed Richards and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to say I'm kind of making a prediction maybe a little early here, but I just got a feeling that this new Fantastic Four movie is going to be the next Elektra. Oh.
Ouch.
And honestly, I hope it does. I hope it's so terrible that everyone's like, no, not doing that. Just because it's better for us. Like the producer, I think, I can't remember his name. I think it's Avi or something.
Avi Arad.
He was talking about he wasn't interested with Spider-Man going, like, teaming up with Avengers. And I'm like, I don't care if you're not interested. This is not, like...
shouldn't get to make that call.
Yeah, you shouldn't make the decision. Like, honestly, this is the only reason you even have the opportunity to make these movies is because we've been reading these comics for years. This is you. If you really cared about your fans and the people who go see your movies and fill your paycheck, if you cared even a tiny bit, you would be like, you know what they want. They want to see Spider-Man. You would at least try, maybe care a little bit.
Yeah,
To be fair, you know, let's face it, these companies, these big ass corporations mm-hmm. have a long-standing history of not giving half a shit what you think.
Yep. It's true.
It actually surprised me a little bit, though, that Avi Arad would say something sort of like that about Spider-Man not...
Yeah,
because he has to support the current studio structure.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. But because it surprised me a little bit because, to me...
Dude, Avi's name is in the credits no matter what.
Yeah, to me...
He doesn't care.
Well, I don't know. Hold on. To me, my feeling growing up and everything was I saw Avi Arad on everything. He was kind of like the Bruce Timm of the Marvel Universe. And... In the cartoons and working with like almost every show that was on TV, like a lot of the movies when they were first coming out, it was all Avi Arad that was kind of taking it and moving it forward. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for bringing us these films. I mean, like you could almost argue that if he hadn't brought a few of these to the screen, we might not have had any of these Marvel or DC films, you know?
I think that's entirely fair. But at the same time, he's also the executive producer on all of the films that come out, whether they're good or bad, and he makes his money no matter what.
Yeah.
So I think that he's kind of stuck in a position right now where, I mean, the Marvel properties at this point are kind of just irreconcilably split. I mean, that's just how we have to accept that they are. And I think that he has no choice but to sort of roll with that and to sort of tamp down fan expectations that this is what they're going to see.
Yes.
Because we know for a fact that Sony is, no matter how many shitty movies they pump out one after another, they are never going to give up the Spider-Man property. They're going to reboot it again and again and again until some of that shit sticks to the wall. Well, you know, it's the same thing with Fox and thank God, they finally made a little bit of a resurgence with the X-Men properties, but they're the idiots who are in charge of Fantastic Four, and that's just going to be a giant suck fest.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree. I have to believe. Maybe it's from the what we were talking about earlier. I'm really hopeful of things. I hope like people at some point say, "Hey, I'm tired of seeing Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. I've done this 2 times now. I'm done with this." And to say, hey, if you really want me to, like, really want me to go see this, you got to give me something new. And I think the only way they'll do it is, like, we just keep refusing to go see these movies. We get tired of seeing the same thing being rebooted. And then eventually it gets to the point where the money on the table just says from Disney saying, hey, you're not making money off making these crappy movies every so years. Hopefully, in the long run, yes, you may get a movie again that will say it was a blockbuster hit. But but that's down the line. Hey, if we throw you enough money right at your face right now, you can go spend that money on other new pictures that can make you even more money. I think companies will say, hey, it makes no sense. Let's sell this. Let's make the money now and move on. It was a great run. We made a lot of money off this series, but now let's give it back to them and let them do anything.
Yeah.
I think there's already been an instance of Marvel buying back like one of their properties from some studio. I don't remember which one particularly. I know Daredevil reverted on its own, but I don't remember what other property it was that was farmed out somewhere that Disney has been slowly like reacquiring. Mm. But let's face it, Disney can crush people with the power of their wallet. So
that's what I believe.
You know, so let's face it.
I guess I'm on the dark side of things. Like, I'm rooting for Disney to just crush all the other people out. Like, just say,
they haven't done anything good with it. So why the hell not? I mean, get it to people who at least have a track record of putting out things that are good.
Yep.
As opposed to this. You know, just rabid meow fest that keeps on coming out from these other production studios.
That's it, guys.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, Ziggy. We really appreciate it. It's been a great time.
It was fun. Sure. It was very fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Cool. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
It was fun.
And yeah, we really should wrap it up.
It was fun. Sure. It was very fun. I enjoyed it.
All right,
guys. Good talking with y'all.
Yeah, all right. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good one, y'all.
I got some food in me.
That'd be fun if I could do it again.
Yeah, ditto.
Yeah, for
all
sure. Right.
Have a good night.
Yeah. See ya.
Night.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show. The Super Awesome Geek Show was conceived, created, and produced by Jason Rigdon, John Adams, Eric Locke, and Jacob Pilecki. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, and we encourage you to follow us on Facebook at Super Awesome Geek Show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. If you would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at john@mowich.net. Drop me a line if you'd like to do an interview, or if you've got a cool story you'd like me to check out and do a spotlight on. Or you can just contact me if you'd like to be a guest on the show. We're always looking for new people to geek out with. Well, that about wraps it up. Thanks a lot for listening to Super Awesome Geek Show. Keep it geeky out there, guys. See you later.